Jeremiah 23 is about pastors who preach lying words. And it was back in its day. Now, it's interesting that there are no other Old Testament books that use the word pastor. It's only in Jeremiah. Seven times he uses the word pastor in Jeremiah, but you don't get it anywhere else in the Old Testament. He didn't have pastors in the Old Testament. Right? So, what's the deal? Oh, I tend to think that this King James Bible is inspired to where God said, let's put pastors back in Jeremiah because we're going to be using this to preach to pastors today. That's part of that book being an inspired Word of God and preserved. Okay, but those are things in there that are there for our learning. So we're going to learn from Jeremiah. There's things in there that the Old Testament is there for in sample. Not example, but in sample to learn from. It says that those things are written for admonition. We could still use some admonitiating. Another one for you, Sam. However, 1 Timothy chapter 6 is written to us. And he tells us in chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's the words of Jesus Christ. That Bible, that King James Bible, those other Bibles are not the words of Jesus Christ. They can't be because they're different. How many Jesus Christs are there? One. How many books will have the words of Jesus Christ? One. And then it says, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Now, for years, I always kind of blew past that little section right there. I know what that means today. So do you. What is the doctrine of godliness, according to God, or doctrine which is according to godliness? What's that? That's Paul. I believe that's Paul. Because that's what Paul preaches. He preaches about a risen Christ, and here's how you live that walk that you've been created to walk, and that is godliness. So a person who rejects the King James Bible and Paul's preaching, here's what God says about this person in verse 4, or persons, or professors, or pastors, or husbands, or wives, or mothers, or fathers. He is proud, knowing nothing. But he's been to school. He's got a degree. Doesn't matter. This is what God thinks of him, or them. Knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, they correct it, change it. What are they doing? They're striving and doting about words. Whereof cometh envy. They're a very envious crowd. Strife, railings, evil surmisings, it gets rougher. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. These are the guys with the Bible degrees. And these are the guys that are in 99% of our churches today. Destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness. These are the guys that have got the Bible degree that are having churches that are what? Getting bigger. They suppose gain is godliness. Oh, look at that. That must not mean what it says. From such withdraw thyself. It must not mean that. No, that's what it means. Those people, those pastors, those parents, those anybody that teaches not the King James Bible and teaches not rightly dividing, we're supposed to withdraw from. And there is the crux of why we have so many problems, is because we aren't withdrawing from them. Now, that's Paul to Timothy. That is Paul to the Gentiles, because Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. That's us. So that's written to us. But let's go back to Jeremiah and let's see how God put it to Jeremiah to tell everybody in those days what's going on. Chapter 23, verse 1. Now, we've been over Jeremiah. This is one of the few CDs or tapes I'll have on our Jeremiah teachings or preachings, whatever you want to call it. But to me, Jeremiah chapter 23 is probably one of my most favorite chapters, is because nobody says it like Jeremiah. These pastors, these teachers, these Rick Warrens, these contemporary CCM, the contemporary Christian music people, all these people are preaching a gospel that is a false gospel, and they all say born again, and we know their problem with that, and this is what God thinks of them. And this is how Jeremiah would say it if he was here today. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock, and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. Now, we have to be able to differentiate between the fact that these are God's people he's talking about. These are his people. This is not the heathen. These are his people. Now, without a shadow of a doubt to me, a modern Christian, a modern Americanized Christianity person there, who's got different Bibles, has never acknowledged the truth to be the Word of God, the King James Bible, and have partied in these other churches and have gotten caught up in this music scene, I don't believe that many of them are God's people. That's the challenge here. This is what irritates people. Now, why would you make such a claim? Because we have learned that I've asked people in the fair booth and at work in places, all they want to do is talk about the King James Bible versus these other Bibles, and what do they always ask? Are you saying I'm not saved? And I say, I never said that. Why would you think such a thing? Could it possibly be that the Spirit that's in this book, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, is actually working on that person's heart that they don't have the Spirit of God? Otherwise, I never said anything about their salvation. It was never on the billboard. It's never in our bulletins. We used to have the bulletins back in those days on calendars, like I thought we could do some things. And that never brought that up. So why do they ask that? I don't know. I think it's because they're not saved. And you know that you can be religious, and you can be baptistically religious, and you can be a Bible reader, and you can help people, and you can have chair, all that kind of stuff that we talk about, and still not be saved. It's very possible. Because we have pastors and educators that have been through colleges, and they can teach us how to have church without God. Very easy. How can you say such a thing like that? Because Paul meets a bunch of them in Acts chapter 17, and he says, you folks are worshiping an unknown God. You don't know this God. Because he says a couple of verses later, he does not hear that worship. Who do you think you are that you can worship God when he created you, and he created this whole world, etc., etc., and he's not in this building type of a thing. He says, who do you think you are? So, it's a good start, isn't it? Amen this morning? Woe to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep. Now, listen to Revelation chapter 8. We always do this little Santa thing out of Zechariah, where it says, ho, ho. I think it's in Zechariah something. And we always say, well, here's Santa saying ho, ho. But there's one short in Zechariah. We don't go to Zechariah anymore. We go to Revelation chapter 8. Listen to this. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, whoa, whoa, whoa. There it is. Those are the three woes. And so when God says here, woe be unto the pastors, you get into Revelation, and I'll tell you what, there are woes that we need to watch out for. And there's three of them. Ho, ho, ho. You know, kind of a deal. Now, we don't need to worry about those woes. We really don't. And I got to tell you this. We have a man down in South Carolina. Is Clarence on there, Irmo? Probably not. Clarence down in South Carolina. He got into this hassle with the pastor and the men of the church about this chastising thing. And he wrote me and says, and he gave me all the teachings he had heard from this guy down in South Carolina. And, okay, I frustratingly type back all this chastisement stuff. Give me the verses. I'll say that. And I told him, The whole spiel about chastisement, that is the joy that Christians don't have today, is because they think God is wonking at them. Wonking, I don't know what, that's just chastising. And so he said, well, it makes kind of sense. So we went back to the pastor and these men at the deacon's meeting or whatever and said, now, show me the verses where you will prove that God is chastising today. Every verse was in Hebrews. Every verse was in Hebrews, and there was that one in Revelation chapter 3. So, and Clarence just said, case closed. They have no argument. And he's starting to realize and to teach his family that when God paid for it all, it really means he paid for it all. And we are to learn to walk the holy walk, not because he's going to get you for not doing it, because you love him. Because what he has done. Because only you know how rotten you are. And how that was not ever imputed once you trusted him as your Savior. Never been imputed. So what's he got to chastise you for? Okay, never been imputed. What's the thing about mercies if he's imputing it? So we see this in Jeremiah, that Jeremiah is really putting it to the people. But we have to remember that we don't have to fear these woes. Now, of course, there's still the judgment seat to come by. Our works that we've done that are horrible and rotten, they'll burn. We know that they're still reaping what we sowed. I mean, just look at your life. Look at your family. If you're having a hard time, if the ship is heading towards the rocks, it isn't God's fault. And he's not going to push you into the rocks because he's paid for everything. He's letting you go into the rocks. What kind of a father is going to trip up their children? What kind of a father is going to try to watch their child growing to get close to the Lord and then push them and trip them and kick them to see if they're real or not? That's a lousy father. God is not a lousy father. He's not a lousy Savior. So get that as we're going through this chapter in Jeremiah, because these are his people that are tripping up. They're rejecting God's words, and yes, he is going to let them have it. But we don't have that today. Because, see, we should receive it, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we be clobbered for what we've done? Yes. That's why he died on the cross the way he did. He took the chastisement that we need to get today. And so these pastors who are saying, God will get you if you don't give more and pay more and come to church more and read your Bible more, that's a guilt trip. That is a lie. That's a lie. And you can't tell that to teenagers about your whole life is because God has booped on you like that, and you better get it right or God's going to kill you when you get older. Who knows what they're saying out there to these teenagers, and that's wrong. That is a lie. They are not receiving the truth about God's love. So, the Laodicean thing, the church in Revelation chapter 3, the chastisement is coming, but it won't be us. That is a marvelous message to me, and it's supported by Scripture upon Scripture upon Scripture, rightly divided. And so if that's the case, then I can just go out there and keep doing what I'm doing, because if that's not going to be put on me, then what's the problem? The problem is, what a lousy child of God you must be to think you can just keep doing what you want to keep doing. That's what God. That's what Paul says in two words. God forbid. So, we know that. So that woe be unto the pastors is not a fear, but America needs to fear those woes because they're coming. American Christianity, modern Bible believers, modern Bible readers, modern worshipers, all these churches, they need to watch out for God's woes, because this Bible tells them that they are not God's children. You mean to tell me you don't think I'm saved just because I don't read that King James Bible, son? Come on, go ahead. Say it. Say it. Yes, that's what I think could be taking place. We still don't know. I mean, the person knows their heart, doubt that. But you could say the testimony of such is. Now, my testimony is a very good testimony. Not for the truth. You have a good testimony for religion. Baptist religion. Born again religion. That doesn't mean it's right. Now, verse 3. Let's get back into this thing. That was a little spiel of a bunny trail there. Verse 3. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. Okay? And I will set up shepherds over them. I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. And I'm looking at those verses, at that verse thing right there, and I'm seeing a marvelous thing. That with the right kind of pastor, these people will fear no more. People will not be dismayed, and they shall not be lacking. And I looked at that and I thought, you know, that's the message of the modern preacher today right there. They say, no fear. Don't have to fear God anymore. Not to be dismayed. And you certainly won't be lacking. See, that's the message of the modern preacher today. Look at Daniel chapter 8. Here we go. Daniel chapter 8, verse 25. I might have tonight's message already done. We might not get through this whole thing. We'll see. Daniel chapter 8, verse 25. We're looking at the fact that modern preachers today are preaching a false message. They are preaching Daniel chapter 8, not to fear God. Now, remember, as Christians, Bible-believing, quickened Christians, we don't have to fear God's chastisement. But listen, God is God. He's still the creator of all. I mean, He's God. I don't know how to say that any more than the fact that He's God. And so if God were to be here, we wouldn't just be kind of, how you doing, God? That's God. I mean, He's not that way. And there is a fear there. There's a respect. There's an awe. And this God who's not going to do anything to us, if He could, we know what He could do. One cell at a time, we could disappear. I mean, God could do this. And we know the wrath that He's going to do on this world. We understand all that. We're aware of that sort of a thing. So here are these guys today telling everybody that, listen, God loves everybody. There's nothing to fear about this God. He loves you. And I got to ask, if God loves everybody, why do they need to be saved? The statement in John 3:16, which does not say this in their modern Bibles, it says, for God so loved, past tense, loved the world, He offered His Son, there He was, He says, the Bible says, toward them, and if they don't accept Him and trust Him as their Savior, they don't have God's love. But if they're told that God loves everybody, they're being taught that they should fear no more. God loves everybody. Relax. Come on. Let's just go here and let's just worship God with our little worship teams and our groups and our rock music and stuff. That's what they're saying. And He said there in verse 4, nor be dismayed. Okay? Well, wait a minute. We're going to read Daniel chapter 8, verse 25. I'm getting off of my little tangents here. Daniel chapter 8, verse 25. This is about the Antichrist. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. Look at Daniel chapter 10, verse 19. And said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. He said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. You see peace being mentioned there. Look at Daniel chapter 11, verse 21. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Look at verse 24. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches. Yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time. And he kept reading about the Antichrist, and he's coming in peace and flatteries. So this whole message that's going on in modern Christians today, this peace, God loves all, and the flattery of just, you know, that kind of stuff, I'm telling you, they're being set up for the Antichrist. And these are, this is not the world. These are the modern Christians that are being lied to about this stuff. And it's all boiled down to false Bibles. It says there, nor be dismayed, back there in Jeremiah 23, verse 4. Nor be dismayed. Well, how do people be dismayed? What's one of the greatest, what's one of the most famous statements I think is absolutely crazy? They say, there is strength in what? Diversity. There's strength in diversity. A mixed bag is stronger than a bag of solid of the same. It's just, that's crazy. Strength in diversity. There's a thing, and people believe that. So they're being, they will no longer be dismayed. Are you kidding? Another phrase that we heard a couple of weeks ago, taking down the walls of doctrinal division. Let's take down those walls of doctrinal division. Let's no longer have all this confusion, and they're telling these people that you will no longer be dismayed. We get rid of that King James Bible code. We get rid of that King James Bible that says things with authority. One statement says all. Let's get rid of that stuff. Have no more doctrinal differences. Oh, come on. God loves everybody. No longer need to be dismayed. Get rid of this book because you don't understand it. I understand this book very well. I'm getting better. Our kids understand that King James Bible, rightly divided, better than these professors out there and these pastors that are out there. They think they're not being dismayed, but they're being confused royally. And then it says there, neither shall they be lacking. That's the message, say it, neither shall they be lacking. What is it? Supposing that what is what in Timothy? Supposing that gain is godliness. This modern Christian world believes that gain is godliness. The bigger the church, the more God's in it. So, this thing back in Jeremiah, that is the message of the modern Christian world. And Jeremiah has to go out and tell everybody, you are lying to God's people. You want to walk up to a pastor and say you're lying to your people? Go ahead, come on up, bring your Bible with you. Don't just tell me you think I'm lying. Bring your Bible with me. Some of you are probably sitting there this morning thinking, that can't be right. He's nuts. He can't be right. Okay, you're basically calling me a liar. That's fine. I've been called a lot worse. But bring your Bible up and show me that I'm a liar, and I'll show you you've been lied to. That's what'll happen. Must be dads in the neighborhood, huh? Okay. Verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Now, who's this? Isn't this amazing? This is Christ, way back in Daniel. And in his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. They would have. What'd they do? They killed him. So, there it is. Jeremiah said, listen, you guys, listen, God's people, he's coming. The Lord our righteousness, therefore behold the days come, saith the Lord, that there shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and led out of the seed of the house of Israel. What are we talking about here? Let's go back and read verse 7 again. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say. They will not say this, okay? The Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But this is what they'll say. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. God's going to take care of them. And they kill him. So this is Old Testament. That's okay. Look at verse 9. We'll talk about it in another sermon day. Verse 9. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome. Because of the Lord, because of the words of his holiness, for the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth, The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their forces is not right. For both prophet and priest are profaned, yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Now look at these verses. These are marvelous verses here. Back to verse 9. Jeremiah is really shook up. He says, mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. Have you ever been so upset that you can't sit still? You're just, either you're upset or you're hurt or you're concerned for somebody. You're shook up. You ever been there? I am like a drunken man. He can't control himself. Or however you want to describe that thing. And like a man whom wine hath overcome. He's out of control. This bothers him that much. Remember Jeremiah wanted to quit in 20? Remember in 18, they've shut him up? They're not listening to him? 18 and 11 and 9, where those verses were? And how does he handle this? He is really shook up. You see that? I mean, you got to see that before we go past this thing. Now here's why. Because of the Lord. That's what it says. Because of the Lord. Verse 9. And because of the words of His holiness. Isn't that amazing? Jeremiah understands God. Your kids don't understand God. But do you, as a parent? Now, kids, sit still. Don't distract your parents here. Is God God to you? Jeremiah was shook up like this because of the Lord and because of the words of His holiness. Where do we have the words of His holiness? Right here. And that is not a reference to the Pope, if there's any Catholic listening in anywhere. The words of His holiness. That is not what that says. Today, God is God. And this Bible, the words of His holiness, to me, I'm awestruck by this book. To think that we're going to come up with a sermon here, we're going to talk about this, all of a sudden in verse 9, Jeremiah is so upset, but it's not because of the people, it's because of God and His Bible. This is what I want to have. I want to be able to tell kids or somebody about God and this Bible. It's not just a manual of religion or Baptist manual. This is God's book. This is God's words. This is God's words of holiness. This is beyond anything else we could ever talk about or do for our kids, for our family, for church, whatever. I mean, this is where it's at. So because we know we have the living God and we understand the living God more than we've ever had, if we understand the risen Christ, which is what Paul is all about, right? Paul is about the risen Christ. It's not about water baptism. It's not about communion. It's not about church membership. It's not about that stuff. It's about, like Paul says, you folks are worshiping an unknown God. You know nothing about this God, because if you did, you would find out that you don't have the living God. You have an unknown God, another Jesus, another Spirit. So if you get a grasp on this as God, then you get a grasp on this English Bible, King James 16:11, that before that came, God was doing stuff through the prophets and the teachers and the pastors and Paul and these guys. And now today, all the stuff that you've read that He has done then, He will do through this thing, rightly divided. This is one spectacular book. This is not a parent manual, but it would straighten folks out on their parenting. There is some lousy parenting going on. There is some lousy homeschooling going on. There is some lousy husbanding going on. There is some lousy wiking going on. There is some lousy pastoring going on. What have we left out? There's some lousy mothering going on. There's some lousy fathering going on. There's some lousy singling going on. How can you say such a thing when compared to this thing? Not compared to me, not compared to my teachings, not compared to our church constitution, compared to this thing. It exposes it all. It'll show us everything to fix. Doctrine for reproof. Okay? We can handle the doctrine, and you say it can take the reproof to a certain point, but what is it? It's correction. But not only is it correction, it's instruction in righteousness. He will not only show you where you're going wrong, He'll tell you what to do right. And parents don't do that. You don't have time to do that. You will thump them, you'll spank them, you'll put them in the corner, you'll put the pointed hat in their head, you'll shame them, you'll embarrass them, you'll get mad at them, you'll shut them out of your life, but you won't tell them what's right. That's why this book is just what it is. It's not about me grumping on you folks. It's about the fact that this Bible is what it is, and it tells me to say what I need to say, and it's not about me and you, it's about this book, and it's about God. It's amazing. I could just go on. I probably should. We're running out of time. I'm telling you, this is why Jeremiah was the way he was. Because of the Lord and because of the words of His holiness. You can't teach that to your children. They just have to see it in you. Look at verse 19. It gets even better. What have I been saying the last couple weeks? We're doing things we shouldn't be doing. We're finding this out in Thessalonians. It's not a personal gripe. We've come to this point, have we not? As a church, we have come to where we've been through the doctrine of Paul. We realize the risen Christ stuff. Some of you folks don't because you weren't here for all of that. And we've come to the point where he says, listen, we have exhorted, we have comforted, we have charged, and now you are ready to walk a walk worthy of God. Are you? Well, I'm supposed to preach that here's how we do these sorts of things. Now, we got problems. We all got problems, right? And I have said, let's deal with it. We've got certain private things. Okay. But what did I talk about last night, Wednesday night? The damage that's going on behind closed doors. Right? That was the process here. So, we all know as adults that we got some things we shouldn't do, but we do. We turn on this. We just got these things that we just got them. I can't quit them. I'm addicted to them. I'm sorry, whatever it is. That's fine. It's not being imputed. But the fact that you're doing it within front of your grandchildren or your children or your wife or your grown-up kids or whatever, you're damaging the truth. You're causing damage. Now, look at this next verse. You follow me? That's what we said this last week. You with me on this? May not agree with it, but you saw what I was saying. Look at verse 10. First he says he's drunk and he's that kind of a guy because of God, because of the Lord, and because of the words of His holiness. Now he says in verse 10, for the land is full of adulterers. Okay? For because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. You see what's here? This is what's so spectacular about this Bible and Jeremiah. He is saying that your actions are causing damage. Now, you may not understand the joy to that, but when I do a couple sermons and I realize that we're preaching about ourselves and our sins, if you would call it, because it's the sin that's in there. It's not you doing it, but you're following, you're choosing to serve sin. And then we talk about the damage that you've done within your home for your children, which, by the way, is irreparable. The damage you've done up until this point today cannot be fixed. It can just be band-aided. And hopefully, it'll leave a scar the rest of their lives. But we also see that Jeremiah is upset not only because of their actions, but because of the damage they've done. And that's exactly what we've been saying. And you don't know what that's like as a pastor to realize what you've just been preaching out of just doing this out of your Bible, and then God comes along and verifies it with Jeremiah. Yes, it's God and all that you've learned from Him, the risen Christ, the living God, and you realize that this Bible is really what it is to me, and instead I can't. This is a marvelous book. It's an amazing book. And then he says, by the way, it's not just their actions, but it's the damage from their actions that has him upset. I understand why I'm so upset. It isn't just that we're doing stuff. It's the fact that we're damaging our homes. See, it's okay for me to get upset. Because it isn't just about God, it isn't just about the book, and it isn't just about actions, it's the damage that I see taking place. And as a pastor, I can get upset. It can bother me. And it does. It does. Who's telling you these things? Get off that. Look at the stuff that you're doing behind closed doors that's damaging your family. This was Jeremiah's message. Marvelous stuff. Okay. That's worth a sip. Time out. Verse 12. Wherefore their ways shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. Now, we don't have to worry about that. God is not going to come in and destroy your family because you haven't been doing your job as a father. God's not going to do that. You're doing that. Don't blame God. I've said recently, I'm not going to let the public school ruin my kids. I'm going to do it myself. That's what I see happening. To everybody? No, don't, you know, if the shoe doesn't fit, don't put it on. But you better try it on. Make sure it doesn't fit. Verse 13. And I've seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people, Israel, to err. That's right. These pastors are causing people to err. How can you live and how can you walk in that darkness that we're talking about here? And how can you fall into this error? Because I preach the King James Bible. Yes, do you read it? Do you study it? Do you find out what's going on? Do you look into your Bible as a father? Did you fathers go back from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12? Did you go back on your own and read 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1? Did you find yourself in there? If you didn't, you're a fake. You're a farce. You're damaging your children. Get over it. You've got to acknowledge that. You have. You hurt them. What kind of a father is going to bring his children up by hurting them? It'll make them tougher. Baloney. Okay, let's get back on the thing here. Maybe I don't need a Baruch. Yes, I do. Where's the joy in this sermon? Well, you'll see. Verse 14. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers. They're voting for the bad guys even if they're not as bad as the other bad guys. They're strengthening the hand of evildoers. That none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. I mean, the whole world out there, God's people in this time were no better than Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was not a place for a vacation. You know, it just wasn't the hot. It just don't do that. God did not. He burned them, and I guess they can still see the burn marks today. When God burns a fire, it's just always there. So he's not happy, and it's the prophets of Jerusalem that he's seeing. I mean, these are his people. Does he see that with us? I suppose, but what I want you to see is modern Christianity is what he's talking about here. Not true Christians. Not the true pastors. Not the King James Bible. Not the stuff. So, yes, they have some heavy-duty wool to watch out for. But what about us? Are we immune? We're not going to get clobbered by God. But could be the mess that's going on, the ship is wrecking, is because either there's nobody at the helm, I learned that, nobody at the helm, or the wrong ones on the helm. Whatever reason is, we're heading for the rocks. But God is not pushing your ship towards the rocks. In 1 second, God would give you help. Just look at the light. Okay, let's keep going. Does this get better? Yeah, it gets better. Verse 13? 14? 15. Were you telling me 15 all the time? Okay, I don't hear very well anymore. See, I get older, I lose my hearing. You're getting older, you're losing your mouth. I didn't hear you. Okay, that's why he's smiling so much. Yep, she's losing her mouth. This old age isn't bad. I had to cut that out of the sermon there. What number 24? I get some letters on that one. 15. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets. Behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall, for from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Boy, this is just not a good scene. 16. And if you want, 14 and 15 is dealing with, you know, tribulation coming, because it's coming again to America, da-da-da-da. We're not going to look at that stuff today. 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. How many have this verse circled or marked or underlined? These are the verses, aren't they? Now, why do you get so excited about this? Because I like to hear, listen, I like to hear God, what He has to say about what's going on in these churches. It's not me saying it, it's God. My home church back in South Dakota, my family goes to, other churches, other pastors, other home churches, other mission fields, ministries, whatever, God is not impressed if they've not based them on His words. And this is what He says to these people. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. See what they're doing? They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Isn't that something? I mean, these religious folks, Baptists are just as Baptists are in this like anybody else. Baptists, Lutherans, Methodists, whatever you want to call them, Protestants, whatever you want to call them, Catholics, the Hindu, Bindus, I mean, anybody, whatever they're believing, it's making them vain. And they're speaking a vision of their own heart, not what God says. And I don't care who started it. Ellen White started, Joseph Smith started, Martin Luther started, John Calvin started, Billy Baptist started. I mean, whoever started these things, they started with a vision out of their own heart and not the Word of God. Rick Warren, out of his own heart, not the Word of God. Chuck Swindoll, Dobson, Stanley, MacArthur, they're all based on visions out of their own hearts, not out of the Word of God. And it's making their followers vain. Okay, 17. I enjoy this because I feel like I'm speaking God's words to all this that's going out there, because what's going out there really bothers me. Why does it bother you? Do I need to repeat myself? I do anyway. Because of God. Because of the wholeness of His words. And because of what they're doing and the damage that they're doing. That's why I'm enjoying reading Jeremiah 23 out loud with an attitude. Because that's what bothers me. Okay. 17. They say still unto them that despise me, this is Jeremiah, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. That's what they tell people. Don't go to Touche Baptist Church. Lately, he's been pretty grumpy. He's been talking about this walk thing that I thought that he quit talking about years ago. Now he's claiming this Paul stuff. Where's he getting this stuff? The guy's weird. He just makes you angry. And he just frustrates you. And he puts guilt on you. I don't put guilt on you. I quit doing that a long time ago. Didn't I? Now, the Lord may, but I don't even... Preaching Paul does not put guilt on us. Preaching about the walk could put us on guilt if I get grumpy and fleshy. But, you know, God paid for all that stuff. You don't have to do it. But it's ruining your children if you don't. But that's okay. That was a guilt trip. Well, it wasn't meant to be, but it is truth. Will you right now at this moment, heads bowed, eyes closed, would you admit the fact that you are damaging your children the way you are doing your schooling, the way you are doing your entertainment within the home when you don't have anything to do? Do you say to yourself, I think I'm going to have the kids come down and I think I'll damage their little brains for a while? Do you do that? Let's take our kids, you don't do this, let's take our kids to a restaurant and let's kill some of their brain cells. We do. Which restaurant do you want to kill some of your brain cells today, kids? Well, let's go to McDonald's. That'll kill some brain cells. I mean, that's MSG. Well, I took our submarine captain here to a... We've been to MSG factories lately. It's just, I'm asleep before I get into the car. And now that I've preached this, Marilyn, you're missing, I won't say the internet thing here. She's thinking, yeah, right. And you're going to go to an MSG place Monday to take them some food. I said, right, we are. What a dumb thing. Where can we go to find no MSG? Right here. That's no fun. So when we're done with the potluck today, leave the food here and we'll feed him the last couple of days with no MSG. And he can keep what brain cells he has left. Because we've all been brought up under brain cell killing sprinkles. We just have. Maybe that's why your kids are the way they are. Maybe just feed them some junk. You know? Anyway. How would I get onto that one? 18. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Have you? You have. In case you still don't know, okay? Let me tell you. This church preaches and teaches King James Bible. This church will show you how to rightly divide your Bible. That is standing in the counsel of the Lord. You don't have to come here to stand in the counsel of the Lord. Chances are, you're too busy to stand in the counsel of the Lord, so you come here and let me be your little preacher that'll do it for you. No. You can stand in the counsel of the Lord every time you open up that Bible. You can do that. Really. Look at the second half of that verse. Who hath marked his word? Have you marked it? Now, you want to be real practical about the thing. You got any verses that you've marked in your Bible that you want to remember? Okay. Well, yeah. I'll do this for Jerry. Have you ever had to cross any out? See, the counsel of the Lord, he said, ho, that's not right. But 3 years later. And you got to get out your pencil with a nice brand new little Bible that you haven't crinkled or wrinkled at all. And you got to get out that little eraser pencil and go, you know, we've had to do that. How many have had to do that? No, sorry about that. You brought me when you brought me. You asked me if I could fish or hunt. You didn't ask about rightly dividing, okay? It's your fault as much as it is mine. But you've stayed with it. Verse 19. Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. Not a fear for us today, but it is coming in the tribulation. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he hath executed, until he hath performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days he shall consider it perfectly. It's coming. Now here we go. Verse 21. From here on, we're just going to read it. And I tell you, I look to verse 32. This is just preaching. God says it marvelously. Are you ready? Now think. Who are some preachers at different Bibles? Churches, different Bibles. Who are some King James Bible preachers that don't rightly divide? They're Baptists. Really? Lutherans, Methodists. Think of some right now. Family, parents, relatives, husbands, wives. I mean, take your pick. Who does not believe this Bible is the Word of God? Here's what God's saying about that. And to these pastors, verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Let's see. How about some more names? Fanny Hinn. All the Pentecostal crowd. How about all the Methodist crowd? I mean, can you guess? You got some names? This is who he's talking to here. Sam, we know Baptist guys that are into this thing right here. They're getting clobbered right here. They just don't know it. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from the evil way and from the evil of their doing. What a verse. If those pastors would have put their people to hear his words and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned from them from the evil way. If you turn from the evil way, well, you trusted Christ. Yeah, but you learned about Paul, the risen Christ. That's great. And the evilness is not being imputed. But have you turned from the things that you know you shouldn't be doing still? Are you still willing to go home today and still damage your children? You're going to not like this sermon today. I mean, you're going to go home and you're going to do what you've always done. And either you're going to feel guilty about it or you're going to just ignore me, and you're going to go, well, and he was right, but what channel is this on? You know, what should we go do? Go ahead and go do that. I know you should be doing that, but go ahead and go do that. Whatever it is that's going on. We don't want to do school day, well, maybe. I mean, we're going to just keep on doing... Why are we going to just keep on doing the same old thing? Why is that? Come on, really. Let's get practical. Come on. Really? You're too busy. You need the money. You just haven't read your Bible. You just haven't got to fire for the Bible like your pastor does. So let's give him some more money. That'll kind of quiet him down a little bit. So an extra check in the thing to pay for. We had to buy almost all new recording equipment this last week, by the way. A new DVD thing, a new burner, and a new cassette copier. So if you feel so generous, lay it on us. Amen, LD? He's going to get a huge credit card this week. You want to buy your way out? Have at it. But that's not what God wants. That's what I want. That's not what God wants. Let's keep going. This is marvelous stuff. Then we'll be done here. He says in verse 23, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Amen. I mean, he knows what's going on. He is everywhere. Kids, you know that? Now, kids, we got Livia and Danica and Caitlin and Amanda and you know, A, B, C, D, E, F there. and Josie, here we go. Josie and Isaiah, I think, or Isaac. Isaac. And Molly. And I'm getting it. Molly and Sadie, thank you. Molly, I did know yours. I really did. But I was going to come to Sadie, but you know, and Jacob and Jenny. Jed, that's right, Jed. I knew you weren't Jenny. You just didn't look like a Jenny. And Zach and Gavino. Austin already knows this. Your parents cannot be everywhere. Why do you think you want to run into the other room to hit your sister? Or your brother? Or go out to the barn or something? It's because your mom and dad can't see that. But God can. God just knows that. And somehow, kids, somehow, God does get that to the parents. Trust me. Okay. This is what God is saying. Can any hide himself? Verse 25. I've heard what the prophet said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. One of my favorite verses. I've had a dream. What's he say? How's he say that? I have a dream, Mark. You know the guy that says that. I have a dream. I have a dream. Kind of a thing. There he is right there. He's been had. He's been nailed to this thing. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Here it is. Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Who is our worst enemy according to Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2? Who is our worst enemy? Ourselves. We oppose ourselves, it says. Oppose themselves. Here he says, they are the prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Now, have you forgotten who we're talking about here this morning? Do I need to go through the names again? Benny Hinn, Martin Luther, John Calvin, I mean, you name them. Stanley, do I dare get into the Baptist rank, Sam? I mean, you know, they're there. This is what's going on today. People that have had this King James Bible for all these years in their ministry are starting to fall for the imaginations of their heart. Our guys are starting to fall for the gainless godliness thing. Verse 27. These prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. That is a huge charge. To say that those preachers and those pastors are causing Christians today to forget his name. And to replace that name with Baal. That's the devil. Music worships the devil today in these churches. Pastors are preaching the devil's words today. These Bibles are not from God. These churches are not supported by God. That's terrible. That's quite a statement there, Jeremiah. No wonder he ended up in the muck and mire of the bottom of the prison. That's next week. Verse 28. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Two different things there. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt that I'm trying to speak his word faithfully here. I do not want to tell you a dream. I don't want to tell you a dream. If I wanted to tell you a dream, I wouldn't be telling you what I'm telling you, parents. That's not a dream message. We're not the greatest homeschoolers in the world. We're not the greatest Christians in the world. But let's not have a contest to see who can be the worst. That's not a dream message. I'm trying to speak his word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Marvelous sermon to that verse on some typology there. You have a hard heart, you have a hard neck, the Bible can soften you. The Bible is the hammer. I'm not the hammer. Anyway, verse 30. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. I like that verse 30, therefore. What does therefore mean? Because of all of what I've said up to this point, listen to me here. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Do you have any friends that do not have a King James Bible, do not read and study a King James Bible, don't even have a King James Bible? They have had God's words stolen from them. It's your mother, it's your father, it's your sons, it's your brothers, it's your dads, it's your husband's wives, it's your neighbors, it's your boss, it's your pastors out there in these churches, it's your church, it's your friends that go to these churches. They have had his words stolen from them. They do not have a King James Bible. It's as simple as that. Therefore, I'm against the prophets that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. Behold, this is more therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. God told me, da 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 da. God hates that. That's not from God. And he says, behold again in verse 32. Do you see 30 is a therefore? Then he says, behold. And then he says, behold. Even more behold. I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all. Now we've got to be able to rightly divide Jeremiah to realize that he's talking to his people in the Old Testament days, and if you are one of his people, you are one of his people based on that King James Bible. We would have to say that applying Jeremiah today would be applied to those who think they're his people and really aren't. Because we don't have to fear that stuff. Judgment seat might be a bit rough. Right? I mean, sure. It might be really hard to see your kids reject it eventually. It might be really hard to see your kids just not want to come here anymore, even if I don't do the bird thing. But don't have to worry about God getting us, because we've done that all ourselves. Galen, turn around. See? What are you going to do? We got to step up to the plate. I hate to use sport analogy things. I hate that. We've got to get out the trumpet. Got to blow the spit out of the instrument. Got to suck in that reed. See, none of that works if you don't do that. Right, LD? That's right. Try to blow a clarinet and a saxophone with no water on that reed. You might as well go out there and kiss the tree. That's what you're doing. Now, that's marvelous stuff. This Jeremiah, that's marvelous stuff. This is marvelous stuff. It's even better than your cooking, ladies. Your cooking is sitting in there. I can just hear it right now. You're done. Let's go eat. But Don't miss what was preached to you today. Pray for a Baruch to come here, apparently, and tell you what you need to hear. I'm trying. But it's not about me. It's about this. This will tell you what you need to hear. I just think we kind of harden our necks. We don't want to hear it yet. How do you know that? Go home and see what you do today. And just say to yourself, oops, right. And I know that irritates some of you. But this is what's right. And we'll see you tonight. Amen.